all arguments, is it not clear that we need someone whom we may call upon as our preceptor in opposition to the precepts of men in general? There is no word which reaches our ears without doing us harm. We are injured both by good wishes and by curses. The angry prayers of our enemies instill false fears in us, and the affection of our friends spoils us through their kindly wishes. For this affection sets us a groping after goods that are far away, unsure, and wavering, when we really might open the store of happiness at home. We are not allowed, I maintain, to travel a straight road. Our parents and our slaves draw us into wrong. Nobody confines his mistakes to himself. People sprinkle folly among their neighbors, and receive it from them in turn. For this reason, in an individual, you find the vices of nations, because the nation has given them to the individual. Each man, in corrupting others, corrupts himself. He imbibes, and then imparts, badness. The result is a vast mass of wickedness, because the worst in every separate person is concentrated in one mass. We should, therefore, have a guardian, as it were, to pluck us continually by the ear and dispel rumors and protest against popular enthusiasms. For you are mistaken if you suppose that our faults are inborn in us. They have come from without, have been heaped upon us. Hence, by receiving frequent admonitions, we can reject the opinions which din about our ears. Nature does not ally us with any vice. She produced us in health and freedom. She put before our eyes no object which might stir in us the itch of greed. She placed gold and silver beneath our feet and bade those feet stamp down and crush everything that causes us to be stamped down and crushed. Nature elevated our gaze towards the sky and willed that we should look upward to behold her glorious and wonderful works. She gave us the rising and the setting sun, the whirling course of the onrushing world, which discloses the things of earth by day and the heavenly bodies by night, the movements of the stars, which are slow if you compare them with the universe, but most rapid if you reflect on the size of the orbits which they describe with unslackened speed. She showed us the successive eclipses of sun and moon and other phenomena, wonderful because they occur regularly, or because through sudden causes they help into view, such as nightly trails of fire, or flashes in the open heavens, unaccompanied by stroke or sound of thunder, or columns and beams, and the various phenomena of flames. She ordained that all these bodies should proceed above our heads. But gold and silver, with the iron which, because of the gold and silver, never brings peace, she has hidden away, as if they were dangerous things to trust to our keeping. It is we ourselves that have dragged them into the light of day, to the end that we might fight over them. It is we ourselves who, tearing away the superincumbent earth, have dug out the causes and tools of our own destruction. It is we ourselves who have attributed our own misdeeds to fortune, and do not blush to regard as the loftiest objects those which once lay in the depths of earth. Do you wish to know how false is the gleam that has deceived your eyes? There is really nothing fouler or more involved in darkness than these things of earth, sunk and covered for so long a time in the mud where they belong. Of course they are foul. They have been hauled out through a long and murky mine shaft. There is nothing uglier than these metals during the process of refinement and separation from the ore. Furthermore, watch the very workmen who must handle and sift the barren grade of dirt, the sort which comes from the bottom. See how soot besmeared they are. And yet, the stuff they handle soils the soul more than the body, and there is more foulness in the owner than in the workman. It is therefore indispensable that we be admonished, that we have some advocate with upright mind, and, amid all the uproar and jangle of falsehood, hear one voice only. But what voice shall this be? Surely a voice which, amid all the tumult of self-seeking, shall whisper wholesome words into the deafened ear, saying, "You need not be envious of those whom the people call great and fortunate. Applause need not disturb your composed attitude and your sanity of mind. You need not become disgusted with your calm spirit because you see a great man clothed in purple, protected by the well-known